Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Thursday morning to you, Adam. How's your All-Star break treating you?
I would love to tell you I was sitting on a beach with my toes in the sand, but I'm in my house and we spent yesterday painting, so I really know how to do the All-Star break right.
Did you do the taping? Did your wife do the taping? How did that all work?
Now, my wife is an expert at the taping. I just mostly do kind of the brute force painting. That's kind of my specialty.
Roller, the unskilled labor.
Yeah, roller or brush, or how did this go down?
Oh, roller. Roller and thumb brushing.
Okay. All right. Good work by you, Adam Barry, on the labor beat for MLB.com. All right. Let's get down to this. Jim and I were knocking this around yesterday, Adam. They've got six in the state of Ohio, and then they come home. Let's take those first six before you take that weird two-game Cubs series, I guess it would be. And then the Mets and then the Cubs, excuse me. But let's take those first six. If they go, I don't know, 5-1, 6-0, and then they play the Mets, or is there a magic number to where you say, as they're 5.5 back of the wild card right now, if they're X at this date, they got to buy. They got to try to go get somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a record as it is, a games out of a playoff spot. And, you know, that would have to be pretty close to one, maybe two, even, you know, in a playoff spot for them to actually be buyers. One thing I have actually been able to do during this All-Star break is kind of take a step back, talk to some scouts and executives. And the thing I've heard pretty much no matter what is that no matter what, the Pirates aren't going to be big-time buyers. Most people expect them to, you know, to sell veterans anyway and call up these prospects. But I do think if they're, you know, Neil Huntington says all the time, if they're on the inside looking out, then they'll add, kind of like they did in 15, like they tried to do in 14, and like they did in 13. But we also saw in 2016, when they weren't too far out of a wild card spot, you know, they sort of try to do both at the same time by trading Mark Melanson, getting Ivan Nova, you know, dumping Francisco Liriano, stuff like that. So I think they basically would have to, you know, be well above 500 and well within the race for a wild card spot, which would have to catapult them past the number of teams already for them to consider any sort of serious adding without also subtracting at the same time.
But if they are going to sell, like Neil Huntington said a couple of weeks ago as well, it's good. Other teams have to want your players. And now the latest, you know, you might think, okay, Diaz is ready. You want to see him as a mostly everyday catcher and maybe see what we can get for Francisco Cervelli. But now with his concussion, his latest concussion, who would want him?
Yeah, I mean, that complicates things. Basically, everyone I've talked to the last couple of days has said that, you know, short of Felipe Vasquez, who I don't think is going anywhere, Corey Dickerson is probably their most intriguing trade candidate because, you know, as of a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I would have thought Francisco Cervelli was right up there based on the way that he was playing, the number of teams that need a catcher. But you've already seen the Pirates working him out at first base last week, which, you know, nobody is saying that he's done as a catcher or anything like that. You know, Cervelli would be the last guy to accept something along those lines, but it's not good that, you know, he's had the number of concussions that he's had, and, you know, they're even considering working him out at first base, you know, just as a way to kind of, you know, keep him away from behind the plate. So, you know, Cervelli, you basically, first of all, you have to hope he's back by the trade deadline, you know, if that's the thing that's going to happen. And then you have to hope that he has somehow proven his, you know, his health. And I just don't necessarily see that happening by that point, which is tough for Cervelli because it puts sort of his livelihood in jeopardy. And then it also, it really complicates the Pirates, you know, what had been probably the Pirates' best trade chip. So we'll see how that plays out. He's eligible to come off relatively soon. We talked to Todd Tomczyk during the doubleheader last Saturday. He said he was basically just prohibited from playing Saturday and Sunday and didn't give a timeline beyond that. So we'll see what happens with him and Josh Harrison as well with the hamstring on Friday in Cincinnati.
That's what I wanted to ask you, your indications or at least what you saw from your own eyes. Could the hamstring preclude Josh Harrison from playing in any games and or being traded?
I mean, it could prevent him from playing in games. He seemed fine. We didn't get a chance to talk to him on Sunday just because everybody was trying to get out of there and everything was so crazy the way the game ended. But, you know, he was walking around. He didn't get a sense that anything was too serious. We'll see again. The break came at a good time for him. He had 4 days off his seat They're working out today in Cincinnati. People will probably find out more then, and then obviously tomorrow we'll get a sense of whether there's going to be a move. I would imagine Sean Rodriguez is coming back anyway. It's sort of the delayed corresponding move for Austin Meadows, so that would give them an option if they wanted to keep Harrison on the roster but not on the disabled list. They would have a couple of guys that they could shuttle in and out of second base if need be. So that's kind of a TBD until tomorrow as well.
Adam Berry, MLB.com, joining us a few more minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me paint a what-if scenario going into next year or even beyond this trade deadline. Let's say that Dickerson doesn't get moved and the Pirates are close enough where they think they should continue to make a shot and it makes the most sense having Dickerson around. And they do pick up his arb year, which his final arb year is next year on his contract. Aren't we right back with the quandary of having too many outfielders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot different than when they had too few outfielders last year. But yeah, you're right, because you know they sent Meadows down with the assumption that he would be ready, you know, full-time ready on the whatever back end of the readiness curve, as Neil Huntington would say, soon, by the end of this year, whenever it may be, which would mean they would enter next year with four full-time outfielders. And I just don't see them doing that, quite frankly. I think they like Jordan Luplow enough to be a fourth outfielder. I think they want to give Meadows a chance to play every day. They're not going to do anything with Marte or Polanco. So I think either way, if he heads into the – even if Dickerson remains on the team heading into the offseason, he gets traded then. He would be a relatively affordable, probably $10 million or less for 1 year outfielder. You know, on a free agent market where outfielders are going to probably cost you more than that. And, you know, Dickerson has a proven body of work. He's hit this year. He's hit for power. He's played really good defense. I think they could find a home for Dickerson. You know, it would take something like a surprising postseason run or something for them to consider keeping that core together. So my sense is that probably either way, Dickerson is not going to be with the team next year, you know, barring something crazy, you know, some sort of injury or, you know, Meadows not quite figuring it out or not showing something else when he comes back up to the majors. I just think either way, you're looking at an outfield next year of Meadows, Marte, and Polanco.
I'm going to hit you with another, a different kind of a what-if scenario. That let's say that the Pirates have a good week and they go 5-1 and they go out and they buy. They all of a sudden Neil Huntington says, I got to go out and get something. I got to bolster what. What are they going to be looking for? If you're the GM, what are you looking for as a buyer if that were come to pass?
Yeah, that question was asked to Neil on Sunday, and he only would say, quote, upgrades, really, which is not the most you know, insightful answer. I would think that they would look for a reliever, even as good as that back four in the bullpen has been lately with Felipe, Vasquez, Kyle Crick, Edgar Santana, and Richard Rodriguez. There's still a lot of uncertainty there. You could use a veteran arm to plug in. And you know what? If you have too many high-leverage relievers that you trust, that's not a bad thing, considering where their rotation is at right now. You saw that sort of strategy play out when they pulled Ivan Nova early from the first game of the doubleheader and went straight to the bullpen. It worked out. So if you can kind of overload in the bullpen, that may be one area to add, and it's usually pretty cost-efficient to add a reliever this time of year. You know, even when they added a good one in 15, it cost them a kind of fringe major leaguer in Jacoby Jones. They could probably use a starter. The challenge is getting one, you know, kind of the guy that they can fit within their price range, both in terms of prospects and payroll at this time of year. Most teams are looking for high-end starters, whereas the Pirates might not necessarily be looking for an ace. They'd be looking for somebody to kind of shore things up and provide some stability, just given the injury to Chad Kuhl and, you know, the inexperience of a Kingham and Clay Holmes. Yeah, offensively, I don't necessarily see anywhere that they would look to add, because, you know, if it's not a position of strength already, like the outfield, it's the position where they have prospects who may be major league ready in AAA, like Kevin Newman, Kevin Kramer, you know, guys like that. So I would think, you know, they already like their bench with David Freese, who's having a pretty good year, and, you know, Austin Meadows able to come up. But I would think it would be on the pitching side. That's kind of been to the underperforming group so far this season. And, you know, if you can't add in the rotation, you can try to make your rotation look better by adding in the bullpen. That to me, is kind of where they stand.
That Jacoby Jones became a real fringe major leaguer when he was doing this stuff, by the way, after he left the Pirates.
That's a different kind of life on the fringe.
Yes. All right, we opened the show way back in the 6 o'clock hour, Jim and I. And this is the last thing for you as we talk to Adam Berry, MLB.com, with this question. So everybody talks about momentum in sports, right? Whether you're a football team and you go into the open date, the off week, whether you're a baseball team and you got a day off or whatever, they just come off an 8-1 run. They go into the All-Star break, and you hear this from talk radio. Man, what a bad time for the All-Star break. The Pirates were rolling. Then you also hear, well, the baseball season's so long, it's good to get a break. Which one's true?
I think it's the latter, honestly. You know, it's like Josh Bell said, like they're flying home with a good taste in their mouth. It's not like you come back with a bad taste in your mouth. Like, oh man, how did we play? I don't remember what we did. You know, it's not like momentum in baseball is such a weird thing. It's the old cliche. It's only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. So I am of the belief that the break comes at a good time, unless you're the Brewers, when it probably came about a week too late, based on the way they were playing down the stretch. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. The other challenge in baseball is when you play at such a kind of a high emotional level every day, that wears you out too. And I think that's kind of what the Pirates did over the last week. It was, you know, every game mattered, and that's a really exhausting way to go through a six-month season. So I think you'll see guys come back recharged and refreshed, and pretty much no matter what happens, the media, like guys like us, will fit it to the narrative, right? If they come out and they struggle, say, oh, you know, the break came at a bad time. They lost their momentum. If they come out and they play hot, you say, oh, this team is refreshed and recharged. So, I don't know. The break comes when it comes, and you can't really do anything about it.
Look at the realist. Look at Adam
Berry. He's got that lead already written for Friday's game story.
The break came at a great time. Oh, wow, did the break put the brakes on the momentum of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I can feel it already.
Well, I like the break part.
Yeah. Make sure you spell
break,
them right.
Break on the break. Nice.
Different
Hold on,
ones.
Let me write that down.
Yes. I'm gonna next time I see you, I'm going to beat the brakes off of you. You keep making fun of me. Adam Berry. Adam, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll chat soon, my man.
All right, great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
The best. Adam Berry. Good stuff. You
know that? He's painting. Joe Block is doing a walkway.
Yeah,
right?
I saw Greg Brown jackhammering out in Sewickley.
Was he really?
Yeah, right in the middle of the street, right there in front of Starbucks.
Oh, really?
Yep, he was getting it done. What do you think? Wayner. Wayner's the – you know, in new fashion, Wayner is the one who would be the most likely to be doing all that kind of stuff. Wayner's the kind of guy that's up on a 90-foot ladder somewhere. Changing his own light bulbs. And
cleaning his gutters.
Yeah, you know, way up there. Way
Maybe
up
replacing
there.
Some shingles on the roof.
Wayner?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Could too.
Wayner's the kind of guy that – I wonder if Wayner pays anybody to do anything.
No, why?
I'm asking. I wonder. You know what? I might text.
So you think
him
of all those guys, all
you
the
know
pirate,
what?
Pirate broadcasters. He's the one guy that does everything.
I may have answered my own question because I do remember him telling me a story a couple years ago about how he went and did like it was an ungodly amount of mulch and he almost passed out one day. It was so hot, but he's like, I had to do it. That's what I do, and he loves doing that yard work around the house.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.